John chapter 2, the wedding at Cana, is one of the most familiar passages of the Bible. This story is usually read at the wedding ceremonies. In the Old and New Testament times, weddings were happy, festive occasions, just as they are today. The marriage ceremony was considerably longer, during which there was feasting and celebration. Gospel of John is also known as Gospel of the Feast. There are many works performed in connection with the feast. The scene is a village wedding feast in a life where there was much poverty and constant hard work. This week of festivity and joy was one of the supreme occasions. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is at the wedding. Although her role seems to be more than that of a guest, one gets the impression that the couple being married are either friends or possibly related to Mary, and that she is helping with the arrangements, especially the serving of the food and wine. She seems to be one of the first to know that the wine is running out. She instructs the servants to do whatever Jesus tells them to do, and they appear willing to take her instructions. Jesus and his disciples are also at the wedding, as it might guess. There seems to be only 5 disciples at this point: Andrew, Simon Peter, Philip, Nathaniel, and probably John. The fact that Mary, Jesus, and his disciples are all invited to this wedding suggests that this wedding is that of someone known to all of them, perhaps a friend or a relative. Well, into the festivities, Jesus' mother becomes aware of the most embarrassing situation. Most embarrassing situation. The wine has run out, and there appears to be no solution. Either no more wine is available, or there is no money to buy more wine. For a Jewish feast, wine was essential. Without wine, said the rabbis, there is no joy. The guest seems unaware of what is happening. If something is not done, all will be embarrassed. Some commentators even inform us that litigation was possible in such cases. Can you imagine being sued for not providing enough food and drink at marriage ceremony? So Mary came to Jesus to tell him that it was. The King James Version translation of Jesus' reply makes it sound very discourteous or impolite. It makes him say, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" That is indeed a translation of the words, but it does not in any way give the tone. The phrase, "What have I to do with thee?" Or in our translation it says, "And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what concern is that to you and to me?'" It was a common conversational phrase. When it was uttered angrily and sharply, it did indicate complete disagreement or reproach. But when it was spoken gently, it indicated not so much reproach but misunderstanding. It means, "Do not worry. You don't quite understand what is going on. Leave things to me and I will settle them in my own way." Jesus was simply telling Mary to leave things to him, that he would have his own way of dealing with the situation. And the more to this story is found in some of the details that John provides in his telling of it. We need to notice the water that Jesus turns into wine, where does it come from? Where does it come from? John tells us, now there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water, and they filled them up to the brim. Now John did not have to tell us that much detail. He could have just said, now there were some large water jars there, and Jesus turned water in them into wine. But we are told more than that. We are told more than that. There were 6 of these large stone water jars, each of them holding 20 or 30 gallons, and Jesus has the servants fill each one of them to the brim. It reminds me of the Psalm 23, where David says, my cup runs over. My cup runs over. This emphasizes how abundant, superabundant, is the gift Jesus is going to give. That's how our Lord does things. Always more than we can expect or imagine. He is rich in His grace toward us, full to the brim. Always more than we can measure. The very richness of the fourth gospel presents those who would study it and one who would expound it with a problem. Always there are 2 things. There is one simple, surface, smooth story that anyone can understand and retell. But there is always a wealth of deeper meaning for one who has the eagerness to search and the eye to see and the mind to understand. So that's one thing that this mention of the 6 water jars tells us. But John gives us even another detail. He says that these are 6 stone water jars used for the Jewish rites of purification. Now, he did not need to mention that, but he does. Jesus chooses to use these water jars, and John chooses to tell us that these are water jars for Jewish rites of purification. The Jewish would have various self-ablutions, various washings to render themselves ritually clean and get rid of certain types of uncleanness. And with these, they often would go even beyond what God had commanded for Israel. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, that Jesus' disciples were accused by the Pharisees and scribes for not washing their hands when they eat bread. Thus, the presence of these 6 stone jars for ritual purification. And these are the vessels that Jesus is filling full. And then he replaces them with different content. The new wine in old wineskins. If you understand. The new wine in old wineskins. Or in this case, the new wine in old water jars. point I would like to make here is that those old Jewish rites of purification are passing away. They point perhaps to the new and only way of purification, which is through what Jesus brought. Jesus fulfills what the old covenant pointed ahead toward. He brings in the new wine of the new covenant. Here is our purification, dear friends. It is what Jesus provides. It is in what Jesus gives. And what does Jesus give? Jesus gives his own body into death for our purification. Jesus sheds his own blood for our forgiveness. This is how we are clean. This is how we are forgiven. Through Jesus giving himself for us to be our purification. We also notice here, Jesus says at this point, my hour has not yet come. Not now, not yet, not at Calvary. But that hour will come. For that is why Jesus has come. To accomplish our cleansing, to accomplish our purification at the cross. Later in this gospel, toward the conclusion of his ministry, Jesus will say, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. It wasn't yet at Calvary, but it will be at the cross. And Calvary is a sign pointing us to the cross, where Jesus will provide all the purification the world will ever need in superabundance through his holy blood. Dear friends, we need the purification that only Jesus can provide. This morning, we have also read from the book of Revelation chapter 19, where we find the marriage of the Lamb. Because of Christ's self-offering, sinful human beings can become his spotless wife. Sinful human beings can become his spotless bride. And with this cleansing, this forgiveness, this purification that only Jesus can provide, what is the result? The answer. Life and joy and celebration. In Revelation chapter 19, John writes, and the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Bible tells us that there is an open invitation for all to be a part of that celebration. It is up to us whether we accept the invitation or not. Think of it. And so it is that Jesus chooses to do this miracle of turning water into wine at the wedding. It is a sign. It is the perfect setting for demonstrating the life and the joy that Jesus is bringing through his death and resurrection. Notice John mentions, on the third day there was a wedding at Cana. On the third day. And there will come another third day. Jesus will rise from the dead and the celebration will begin. The celebration continues to this day and it will never end. death cannot stop it. Life is the outcome. The life that Jesus bestowed on us is superabundance. So come to the party. You are invited. It is the wedding feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which will have no end. There is a song written by Fear White. It says, "Come to the banquet, there is place for you. Though you maybe have no money, though you maybe feel unworthy, in your strength or in your weakness, you are welcome. Come." In the name of the Father and of the Son.